Morning. Still trying to recover from an illness, but I'm on drugs, so I think you're all safe. Plus, you're all at a distance, so you should be okay. We continue now, or finish up actually, with the Gospel of John this morning in the interactive study that we've been doing. I hope it's been a blessing to you. John chapter 21, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles this morning. Before we do so, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are once again thankful for your word that speaks into our lives. It's so powerful that it speaks to us each in a little bit different way, and yet we know it is your word speaking to us, convicting our hearts, giving us encouragement, giving us hope, challenging us. So, Father, we'd ask now the blessing upon the preaching and the hearing of your word. It's your son we pray. Amen. So, you probably heard me say before that I served 4 years in the United States Army. I don't know if I've specifically mentioned I was in the infantry. And so, carrying lots of stuff on my back and an M16 and mortars and all that kind of thing. So, well, it was about 10 years after I got out of the Army that we had lived in or moved to Redding, California. And Redding is a town surrounded by mountains. And I was interested in backpacking. There was a man in the congregation that was known to be a big backpacker. So I approached him about this. I thought he would be the guy to go with. He would know the areas to go. And so I said, "Barry, tell me about backpacking. I'd like to go backpacking with you. What are some good areas?" And he said, "Well, now, you need to understand, this is pretty rigorous stuff, you know, carrying this backpack on your back and going into the mountains." And my response was something like, "Do you have any idea what I used to do for a living? I used to carry a lot more weight than I'm going to carry if I go out now." But some folks are so intent on being helpful and providing good direction for us and wanting to benefit us in some way, they sort of overlook those sorts of things. It would sort of be like folks trying to tell Travis Clardy what laws he should... Well, that's probably not a good example because everybody does do that, right? But imagine Randy Laster, you know, somebody coming in and telling him how to fix the lawnmowers, or maybe the barber for Greg Carney telling him how to put a roof on a building or something like that. Well, his voice comes from the shore to these fishermen out in the water. "Throw your nets on the other side, the other side." Well, the disciples have been in somewhat of disarray. Jesus had appeared to them in the locked room, and then a week later with Thomas there had appeared again. And either he had not instructed them what they're supposed to do now in light of the resurrection, or they didn't get the message, but they have now gathered together back in Galilee, and Peter announces to the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." And they all say, "Well, we're going to go with you." In 1986, there was a drought in Galilee. And in the north end of the lake, a boat was found that dates back to the first century. See if I can get it to work here. And there we go. There's the picture of that boat that was found. 25.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide. It would have looked something like this. This was a fishing boat from the first century. Now, I point this out because you notice at the beginning of chapter 21, there are seven of them. And Peter says, "I'm going fishing," and the other six say, "We will go as well." Seven guys in a boat that is 25.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, just a little bit crowded. Can you imagine how much more crowded if you got a whole load of fish inside of this boat? And so they go out there and they fish all night, which was actually very common because guys would fish all night and in the morning take their fish to market, except they fished all night and they've caught nothing. And the voice comes from the shore and says, "Throw your nets on the other side. Just throw them on the other side." "Oh yes, there's a guy to tell me how to put a roof on a building or how to fix a lawnmower or how to fish. Why should I pay any attention to him?" What would compel them to listen to this voice? Does this voice think that they know nothing about fishing? It's really a matter of feet from one side of the boat to the other. Why would you think there would be fish over there when there's not fish over here? But for some reason, which is really interesting in the story, they do it. They cast the net on the other side, and then something surprising happens. Modern fishermen have probably all had the experience of getting hung up. you're hung up on a rock or a log or something, you can't get it free, you have to cut the line or something like that. I had that experience bass fishing a while back. I was hung up, and I was about to cut the line when I noticed that the log or the rock or whatever it was I was hung up on started swimming away. Oh, maybe that's not a log or a rock. So I finally, after great fighting, reeled in a 13-pound catfish. Well, I have to think it was something like that experience. The nets have gone on over. Oh, we're hung up. But now the nets are wiggling. We are not hung up. And they bring in this massive amount of fish. And then somebody takes a closer look at that voice on the shore. And they say, "It's the Lord." Well, that's all Peter needed to hear. He needed to see the Lord. He needed to be with the Lord. He needed to talk with the Lord. And he couldn't wait. So he makes like Michael Phelps and gets into the water and begins swimming back. And the others follow, bringing the boat and all those fish with them. And Jesus is on the shore cooking his own fish. Where did he get those fish? Well, John doesn't bother to tell us. But he's cooking breakfast. And he invites them to bring their fish and come over and join him for breakfast. What do you do with failure? The disciples are gathered around a fire. John is very specific with the use of the word. Depending on your translation, you'll notice he says, it's a charcoal fire. That word, charcoal fire, only appears one other time in the whole New Testament. And in fact, it's John who uses it. Back in chapter 18, it reads this way. It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Oh yes, the fire and the denial. Three denials would begin around this fire. Failure on the largest scale. How could Peter ever face the Lord again after that failure? Have you ever failed someone that you love? Betrayed a friend maybe? Was unfaithful to a spouse possibly? Turned your back on the Lord? How do you trust a person again who's done that to you? How could such a person be worthy of trust? Verse 20 tells us that Jesus took Peter off to the side. Time to deal with the guilt and the pain. Time for healing to occur now with Peter. John describes the incident this way. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all the things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Three denials around the charcoal fire, and now three calls around the charcoal fire. And Peter is being invited back into the fold, actually, to be a leader in the fold, to feed those sheep in the fold. Maybe he didn't get to talk to Jesus about this in the appearance in the room, either with Thomas there or Thomas not there. Maybe he couldn't get Jesus alone to have the conversation with him. But can you imagine how he felt? He has to talk to Jesus about the denial. He desperately wanted to see him. And when he finally sees him, when they get off to the side, it's not Peter who broaches the subject. It is Jesus. And Jesus broaches the subject with one simple question. "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" A lot of things can be taken care of if you love someone or if they love you, can't they? Later on, the Apostle Peter would write these words, and we can't help but think about this incident when Peter wrote these words. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin." O. Henry writes a story called "The Gift of the Magi" about a young couple living in New York City. This is back, I think, in the 20s. They're living in New York City and they don't have very much money and it's Christmas time and they want to buy each other a gift, but they're being secretive about it. And so the man is trying to think of what he could buy for his wife. His wife has lovely long hair and she wants this beautiful comb for her hair, but he can't afford it. Except that he does have this pocket watch that he cherishes so much. And if he should sell this watch, he would have enough money to buy her the comb, which is exactly what he does. Meanwhile, she's trying to figure out what is it she could buy for this one that she loves, for her husband he loves so much. There's not much she could give him, but he has this pocket watch that he likes so much but does not have a chain. And so she decides she's going to buy him a chain for it. Where will she get the money? She has her hair cut to pay for the chain, for the watch that he no longer has because he bought her a comb for her hair that is no longer there. But love finds a way. And love finds a way to reconcile things and make things right. And so Jesus asks, do you love me? And he asked Peter that three times. And on the third time, Peter's just a little offended that Jesus would ask him this over and over, as if he's going to open up the wound again, which is exactly what he does. Do you love me? Three denials. Three questions. Because the wound cannot be ignored. You can't just push things aside, brush things under the carpet like they never happened. Peter did deny him. Jesus needs to deal with it. Peter needs to deal with it. What do you do about failure? Can you trust someone again? What do you do with a field goal kicker who's missed five in a row? Do you send him out there? Do you trust him for the sixth one? What do you do with a manager in a company who's just lost you $1 million? Do you trust him with another million? Thomas Edison had invented this thing you might have heard of called the light bulb. Story is that he had a team of men working 24 hours straight to get this thing accomplished. And when they had it made, he handed it to a young boy to take upstairs to see if it worked. And on the way up the stairs, the boy dropped it and it broke. So the team worked again another 24 hours making another bulb, and it came time to take it back upstairs. And what did Edison do? But handed the bulb to the boy again. What do you do with failure? Jesus doesn't just accept Peter back, but he trusts Peter with something. He trusts him with those that are his sheep. Feed my sheep. To forgive is to trust. To forgive is to trust. Think about what that means to the one who has been offended. Because if you're the one offended, now what you're doing is you're making yourself vulnerable again to the person who betrayed you or to the person who denied you, because they could betray you again. And you have to ask yourself, are they truly repentant? Do they really feel sorrow for what they've done? And how can I trust what that person says anymore? But what happens if you don't trust them? Now the wound remains open, and now there's no reconciliation in the relationship, and the offending person never feels forgiven, because the truth of the matter there is that they're not really forgiven. You haven't forgiven them. So there's no forgiveness that is greater than trust. Thomas Edison trusting the boy with the light bulb again, and Jesus trusting Peter with the sheep. Jesus, John tells us Jesus has laid down his life for the sheep. Will he really trust them now with the denier? Yes. Yes. Yes, he will. To forgive is to trust. Think about what that means to the offender. Forgiveness is really only completed when the one who is being forgiven accepts that forgiveness. God's willing to forgive everyone and will forgive everyone, but not everyone will accept the forgiveness that God provides. To accept, one must show remorse. Remorse comes with an apology. Remorse comes with an attempt in some way to make things right. The Bible refers to that as repentance. To accept, one must not continue to hold on to the sin. So many of us find that God has forgiven us, but we can't forgive ourselves for the thing that we have done. And so we play like God, holding the thing that God has let go of. Not allowing ourselves to be forgiven is then not allowing ourselves to be used by God. Suppose Peter never allows himself to be forgiven by Jesus here, and so never does feed the sheep. How well will he be able to take care of the sheep? How well will Peter be able to help other people who have denied or betrayed be able to come back and serve God? How else is Peter going to be able to help people to be what God wants them to be if he himself cannot be that person? And so Jesus has asked him one question. Do you love me? That's a pretty significant question. Suppose he were to ask you that question. Do you love me? Do you love me enough to be forgiven? To not hold on to the thing that I have let go of, but to take that forgiveness and use it and do what I want you to do and be what I want you to be in the world. Do you love me enough to repent, to be remorseful for the thing that you have done? Do you love me enough to take the love that I've given you and extend it to others so that you will forgive others, to trust them again? To make yourself vulnerable to them. Do you love me? Let's stand and sing.